prepare you and give you something for the trials and situations of life that come before us. God knows everything. Nothing's hid from Him. He knows exactly what's going on. We great vacation Bible school last week. Let me add to that. It was great. But there's a lot of trials went on last week with some of God's children. Some things you knew about. Some things you didn't know about. But God knew everything about it. He knew exactly what was going to happen before we ever knew what was going to happen. And I say that to say all this. And just like Sunday night, we come in here and we've taught on Job. And boy, if there wasn't a lot of trials that took place last week. God knew exactly what was going to happen before it ever happened. Now, I didn't know. You don't know. But God knows. And if we just be conscious of God, assemble ourselves regular down the house of God like we should, and come in and open our Bibles and listen to God, God will give you something for what you're going to face in the future. And a lot of times we miss it because it's regular and it's the routine thing. It's more than a routine. It's a time that God has set aside to speak to His people, to give them something to face the things that they'll be facing in this life. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to turn to the book of Acts in just a minute. That's where we'll be teaching out of, where we'll start from anyhow. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Hebrews 4:14. Boy, there's some good encouraging verses here. Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of that, therefore, what's the therefore for? Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, we serve a good God, don't we? Amen. All right, look at this in Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. Brother Brooks called this morning having trouble with that foot and swelling. You pray for him. The Martins are out preaching, be back tonight, so you pray for them. Amen. And keep all these special things in your prayers what's going that God's people are facing. Amen. Acts chapter number 15. Now, Acts 15 is a very pivotal point in the book of Acts if you're studying through the Word of God and how God is working dispensationally with His people and how things are beginning to mold into the church age that we now live in, and we're waiting for the rapture to take place and take us home out of here, and God will enter into the great tribulation with the Antichrist and primarily God's Jewish people and the nation getting back their land in the millennial and all those things. But in the book of Acts, you have a transition going on. It begins with the Apostle Peter. It ends up with the Apostle Paul. It begins with the law. It ends up with grace. And it's just transitioning you over. It transitions you over from the Gospels over to the Pauline epistles, just as the book of Hebrews transforms us from the Pauline epistles over into the tribulation if you begin to study the Bible in that type of form. But Acts chapter number 15, they have a big meeting. And a lot of the big wheels in the church age dispensation come together, and they begin to discuss the subject of biblical salvation, how a person can escape the damnation of hell. And if you was to take time and read this chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, the first thing they say, hey, it's works. And we realize it's not works, amen, lest any man should boast. And you get down to verse 5, and they say, well, it's faith and works. Well, you don't work to be saved. Surely you cannot do that. But you got to put faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. But you got to work to keep it or you'll lose it. And then we know that won't work neither. And so finally, amen, they get up here and Peter begins to talk about what the Lord done with him when he showed him that vision that came down where, you know, they're saying he's unclean and clean and he ain't touching it. And God's trying to show Peter that, hey, I'm not just saving the Jews. I'm saving the Gentiles. I'm saving whosoever will. And he gets down to verse 9 and said, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? Faith. It wasn't works in the beginning, as they said. It wasn't faith and works. It is only faith in Jesus Christ. That is biblical salvation. But that meeting is over, and they're beginning to conclude what was going on at that meeting. Take some time and read this very interesting chapter, if you would. But look out at verse number 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas. Barsabas, thank you, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So they're beginning to send out these missionaries out into the field. And the Bible says in verse number 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Caesarea. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So after the meeting is gone, they begin to send out these apostles, and you got to fix this mess that's been scattered around by people that, hey, you've got to keep the law, you've got to be circumcised. He said, we've not sent no such commandment out. Verse number 15, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood and from things strangled, and from fornication, for which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. He knows that there's no salvation by circumcision or keeping the law. But as a child of God, there ought to be some things you're to keep in your life for testimony's sake. And abstain from meats offered to idols, because that could offend the weaker brother that Paul begins to speak about later on in the book of Corinthians. From things strangled and from fornication, that surely we know that should not be once named among the church, if you will. For which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. What I'd like to do is take that little thought there out of verse number 19. Show you, you know, 7, 8, 9 things this morning that you ought to keep. Some things a child of God ought to keep. And you don't have to keep your soul salvation. Thank God it is kept by the power of God, through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Amen. At that rapture, at that day when we go home to be with the Lord. But as a child of God, there ought to be some things you ought to keep. Things you ought to get a hold of. Things you ought not to let slip very easily out of your life. You ought to keep them. Amen. Number one, you ought to keep God's word. It'll do a child of God good to keep the words of God. Don't let them slip. Don't let them go. Amen. Keep them in your heart. Hide them in your heart. As we said this week at Bible school, that I might not sin against God. Hey, keep it. Grab a hold of it. This book is your guide through this life. Amen. Look in Luke chapter number 11. Keep the word of God. Luke chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Keep the word of God. You take that great Psalms 119, which magnifies the Word of God so highly, and the great things about the Word of God itself. It's the longest chapter in your Bible is about the Word of God itself. In Psalms 119, he talks about the Word of God, and wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. If you keep this word, it's going to keep you clean. If you keep this word, it's going to keep your mind right. Amen. It's going to keep you clean. It's going to keep you away from this old world. It'll keep you getting spotted by this old garbage of this world. Hey, the word of God is a thing that ought to be kept by every child of God. It ought not to be something you just lay down and pick it up just for Sunday. Just pick it up on Wednesdays. Just pick it up when troubles come in your life. Thank God it is there when troubles come in your life. But it'd be good for you to keep it when you know trouble's in your life. You have to pick up this Bible every day of your life. Read it. If you can't read it, get somebody to read it to you. Listening to it. Listen to it on some kind of technology that the world is so rampant with that are using it for so much garbage and filth. Use it for something good. Amen. Amen. Keep the Word of God. You can't get enough of this book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? So I'm going to get my faith from the Word of God. You know what the Bible says? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. But I need faith to please Him, so where can I get some faith? You're going to get it from the Word of God. And a lot of God's people are weak or anemic when it comes to their faith. It's because they do not get in the Word of God, and they get defeated, and they get depressed, and they get discouraged, and don't know which way to turn, and they lost their faith that they can please God with, that they can walk through this world with, while their eyes are on everything they see. The Word of God can keep your mind right to filter it the right way, to walk the way we should walk, which is circumspectly for the Lord. We need to keep the Word of God. Cannot stress the importance of the book. Luke chapter number 11, look in verse 27. Keep the Word of God. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the pap which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God, and what? Keep it. That's what's blessed. You know, you know how you're going to be blessed if you'll keep this book. You know what the Bible said in Psalms chapter number 1? Blessed is the man that does not, that walketh not on the couch of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But you know what he says about that blessed man? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's what the Bible similitudes of man as a tree. He's that tree. You know when God anointed that man's eyes with dirt and he looked and he said he saw man as trees. And then he anointed him again. Then he saw man is the similitude of man as a tree. And that tree that's planted by the river of water, and that water is the Word of God that's flowing by that gives him nourishment, that he can grow and produce fruit. Hey, a man of God or a lady of God ought to be planted by the rivers of the Word of God that they can grow and produce fruit. That is the blessed individual. You want to be blessed? Get in the book. Keep the book. Keep the Word of God. Look in Luke chapter number 8. Luke 8. Keep the Word of God. Luke 8, 15. Get a hold of it. Grab it. Hide it in your heart. Luke 8:15 says, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what? Keep it. And bring forth what? Fruit with patience. You got to keep the Word of God. Look in John chapter number 14. Keep the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Keep it. This book will help you. This book will lift you up. This book knows how to pull you down too when you need to be pulled down. This book will give you what you need and keep you in the right perspective, keep you in the right mind, keep you in the right spirit. A lot of God's people are in the wrong mindset. They're in the wrong spirit. They've been influenced by the world. And the counteractive to that is the Word of God. They can put them in the right spirit, in the right mind, have the right faith, and keep putting one foot in front of another and keep serving the Lord when troubles come, because the book will give you that faith you need. You know what? You can mark it down most every time when a child of God is having trouble in their lives. You can trace it back to somewhere where they laid down the Word of God. You stay in that book. I'm telling you that the old timer said it. This book could keep you from sin, or sin could keep you from this book. This is your spiritual umbilical cord to be fed the nourishment from the glories of heaven. And we're choking it off. We're cutting it away. John chapter number 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. We're to keep the Word of God. Amen. Number two, you're to keep yourself in the love of God. Look in Jude chapter 1. There's only one. I was about to say chapter 21. Jude verse 21. Right before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude. That small little one chapter book. You're to keep the word of God. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. You know what we've done? We've lost our love. John said it in the book of Revelation. He said, I have somewhat against thee thou hast left thy first love. We're not keeping ourselves in the love of God. We're not in love with God like we should. We're in love with this old world and everything else. We've replaced our love for God for other things. And here's the bottom line, and we all know it, but for some reason we get sidetracked. Nobody is ever going to love you as much as God does. Amen. Nobody. Why would you trade your love for God for something that will not love you? Right? What good would you wives, you'd be upset if your husband loved somebody else other than you. Traded you out for another. How do you think God feels when we trade Him out for another? And the truth of the matter is, your husbands might not treat you like you should all the time. But God always treats His people like they should. We have no excuse for running out on God and committing spiritual adultery on Him. Nobody will love you like Him. Keep yourself in the love of God. Stay in love with God. Keep yourself in love with God. How can you do that? Hey, stay away from the stinking world that's pulling your heart away. Amen. That old book teaches you that. Jude, verse 21. The Bible says, verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That book give you that, right? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That'll help. Keep. You see that? What are we to keep? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You're to keep yourself in the love of God. Just for reading, look at the rest. And others saved with fear, pulling him out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. He's going to keep us from falling, right? Thank God for that. We ain't going to lose our salvation. But we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in love with God. Do whatever it takes to... Hey, how do you keep that love kindled? Communication. Spending time with one another. You're going to fall out of love with God if you don't spend time talking with Him and letting Him talk with you, right? Amen. Why does that relationship get distant? Well, we ain't communicating. We don't spend time together no more. You know why you don't love God? You don't spend time with Him. You got to keep yourself in love with God. Talk to Him daily. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let Him talk to you. Assemble yourself around God and around people that know God, and keep your love kindled with the Lord. Keep yourself in love with God. You know what happens if you keep yourself in love with God? You'll love others. You'll love others. Look in 1 John. Right there, just a couple pages back. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You ought to love one another. Chapter 3, verse 14. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know what he goes on to say over in the book of John? If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? You know how to tell you don't love God? You don't love your brother. You don't love him. You have to keep yourself in love with God, to keep yourself in love with the brethren. Keep the word of God. That'll help you. Give you that faith. Give you that encouragement. Keep your mind right. Spirit right. Keep your love right. That's going to keep your relationship and walk with God right. Hey, number three, you're to keep yourself pure. Don't defile yourself. Keep yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Keep yourself pure. Some things the word of God says we're to keep. I mean, 1 Timothy, excuse me. That'll help you keep yourself pure, though. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. It happens to be the same chapter and verse number of 1 Timothy 5:22. Maybe coincidence, huh? I don't think so. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Keep yourself what? You know how you keep yourself pure? Not being partakers of other men's sins. You know how when we start losing that purity in our lives, when we start partaking in other people's sin? Well, somebody else is doing it. One of the biggest lies they ever told you, everybody else is doing it. Everybody ain't doing it. Maybe a big majority is, but everybody ain't doing it. You know what? By the way, if everybody was doing it, it don't make it right for you to run out on God. Yeah. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're to have clean hands and a clean heart and a clean mind. Amen. Our minds are filthy because we put so much garbage in it by the things we put before our eyes and the things we listen to. Our hands are filthy because we're touching things we got no business touching. Our feet are filthy because we walk in places we got no business walking. Hey, we're to keep ourselves pure. Clean hands and a clean heart and a clean mind to go a long way in your life. Amen. Somebody said something, you know, God, cleanliness is next to godliness. And that ain't no Bible verse, but it's always a good Bible principle. It'll keep yourself clean. Amen. You have to keep yourself clean. Keep yourself pure. Look in James 1. Keep yourself pure. Hebrews James 1, 27. Last verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from what? The world. Keep yourself pure. Now to keep yourself from being spotted by this stinking world. Amen. It's that pure religion. It's that thing that's undefiled. It's what God expects out of us. It's, you know, that'd take effort. Take a little bit of work. To keep some things, it takes some effort. Amen. It took effort for God to save us and keep us by His blood. It takes some effort and some work on our part to keep some things in our lives. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. Keep yourself. You'll be glad you did. First Corinthians 9:27, we're talking about keeping yourself pure. First Corinthians 9:27, but I keep, there it is, under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Keep yourself pure. It'll help. It'll help your life, it'll help your mind, it'll help your spirit. Amen. It'll keep you in love with God. It'll keep you in love with God's people. Amen. That word of God will be fresh and real to you. It'll be alive to you. Just keep yourself in this old world. You know what? It is very selfish for a child of God not to keep themselves pure. And because if it wasn't for this verse right here, just only this verse, if you just wanted this verse, that he would not be a castaway. It's going to be a shame of the day when God's children go home to be with the Lord, but our lives are reflected no testimony of salvation and others went to hell by watching us. It's castaway. You've heard it all your life. If they saved, I'm saved. And we know it ain't so. They got to look at Jesus Christ. But the reality is they see us. We are the light of the world. Jesus is not in shoe leather. But you and I are. And if we'd be the Christian we ought to be, maybe we can be the influence to lead them to Christ and not be a castaway when we preach to others. Keep yourself pure. That's a good thing to do. Can't keep your salvation. Thank God God keeps that. But number one, keep the Word of God. Number two, keep yourselves in love with God. Number three, keep yourself pure. Number four, keep yourself from idols. Boy, there's so many idols. Look in 1 John chapter 5. Keep yourself from idols. And the word idol is kind of strange to Americans to a certain extent. I mean, you go around the world and they have idols. I'm talking about gods, little baby dolls, statues, images. World, you know, we go to the Philippines, they everywhere. Everything's a god. I mean, the Hindus, cows are gods. You know, the images, they're things that they bow down to and worship. Idols, the Bible calls them. But we have the same, we have them too. We're just not in the form of statues per se. They might be sports figures. They might be that green dollar bill. They might be a male or a female, or relationship in your life. Something that you worship above God. That's an idol. We have idols in our lives. You know what idols do? They take your heart away from God. They destroy your walk with God. So what should we do? We should keep ourselves from them. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourself from what? That's a little simple verse, ain't it? Amen. Little children, keep yourself from idols that'll rob your heart from God. Anything that causes you not to love God and want to walk with God is no good in your life. Amen. Stay away from it. Robbing your relationship away from God. Keep yourselves from them. That means to avoid. That means to get away from. Because it ain't going to be good. I'm going to be bowing down to it. The same thing the devil told Jesus. Hey, bow down. I'll give you all this. Go ahead and check it out. You have it all. You know what the devil's telling you? Bow down. I'll give you all this. You know what you do when you bow down to that thing? You're turning your back on the one that loves you the most. Amen. You turn on your back on that one that cares for you the most. Keep yourself from idols. Amen. Number 5, Ephesians chapter 4. Some things we ought to keep. Ephesians 5. Number 5, you ought to keep yourself in unity with the brethren. Yeah, that's an effort. The Bible word we'll see in just a minute is to endeavor. It takes work to keep yourself in unity with one another. You know what? Because here's the reality. We see each other's faults. You hang around somebody long enough, you're going to see something that, hey, it's not right. And so you know what you got to do? You got to keep yourself in unity. I got to realize, you know what? Maybe my brother, maybe my sister's having a bad day. Maybe they haven't one like I've had before in my life. And maybe we look at it like that and say, you know, there ain't none of us, and you know, we like to use the excuse, but there ain't none of us perfect but God. And that is not an excuse or a crutch to live like hell by no means. But when it comes to unity, it is an effort, it is a work, it has to be kept. You know what the devil wants to do? To destroy the unity of God's people. Amen. What the devil's trying to do in your life? Destroy the unity of your marriage, you that are married. He's trying to destroy that unity. You know what he's trying to do, you parents? He's trying to destroy that unity between you and your children, right? He's trying to destroy your unity between you and the brethren, you and the church, amen? You got to keep that unity. You got to work at it. You got to overlook one another's faults. You got to forgive one another, amen? You got to see the good instead of looking at the bad all the time. It's some things you got to keep in your life. Ephesians chapter number 4. I said chapter 5, didn't I? I'm sorry if I did. Ephesians 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That's a begging, right? That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You ought to walk what God called you to walk in. And how should you do it? Here's the manner and the spirit of it. With all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering, suffer it long, forbearing one another in what? Love. Here it is, endeavoring to what? Keep. There's our word. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in the one hope and one call and one Lord, one faith. One. It's going, oh, it's one, right? One. Unity. Completeness together. You got to endeavor. You got to keep it. You got to work at keeping unity with God's people. The devil's trying all he can to drive a wedge between us. Neither give place to the devil. Said Ephesians 4:27. And the devil's trying to get in there in his place and try to drive unity between. He wants you divorced. He wants the family bond to be broken. He wants the brotherly love to be destroyed. He wants God's children to be destroyed. He wants the work, the church, to be destroyed. Do you know that we are the devil's arch enemy? God's children are the devil's arch enemy. You know why? Because God's children took the place of Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub. He was that bright, shining light, right? He was God's right-hand man. And he got cast him down when he said, I will. And God said, I'll make somebody that'll worship with me, that'll shine bright for me. And that is the God's child, the child of God, that we are the light of this world now. We took his place. And the devil hates you. You've got a relationship with God that he used to have. We're his enemy. It's a battle between Satan and the Lord, and mankind's been caught in the middle, and the devil's doing all he can to drive a wedge between God and his children. You got to keep the unity. You got to work at it, man. You got to forgive one another. You just got to forgive. You got to forgive yourself. You got to work at keeping unity. Keep your marriage together. Keep your family together. Keep the church together. Try to do what's right by God. God made it as one, and the devil wants it in many pieces. And boy, it's in many pieces today, ain't it? You got to keep it. You keep yourself in unity. Number six, here's a good thing to keep. Look in Hebrews 10:25. You need to keep assembling together. Yeah, amen. Hebrews 10:25. What are you saying, but you need to keep coming to church. Yeah. I mean, it is important in your life. The devil's trying to keep you away. Where you hear the word of God. Where you can pray with God's people. Amen. Where you can get some strength and encouragement. Amen. Keep assembling yourself together. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, what? Together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe we're closer to the return of the Lord? And the more closer we get to the appearing of the Lord, the more we ought to gather together. Because the more the devil's going to fight. Amen. You need to keep yourself in Sunday school. Keep yourself on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday, whenever you can. Assemble yourself around the Word of God. It will make a difference in your life. Amen. My life before church, which I know salvation is the key. It changed my life. But God put me in church to establish my life, give me direction and hope and how to live in this old stinking world. And you cannot do it, and God's made a place to come away from the cares of this stinking world that just turn us upside down sometimes and make us feel like we're a termite in a yo-yo, but we can come down the house of God like Asaph said, and I can understand and get this thing back in perspective and get encouraged to go back out and do it again for the Lord. And God said, there's so much to more as you see the day approaching. Keep yourself assembling together. Amen. Keep yourself coming to church. Amen. Here's one we like to give up on sometimes. Number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You know the verse? You need to keep praying. Keep praying. Don't you quit praying. Ain't no time to quit. Sometimes we get the feeling, well, there's no hope now. Ain't nothing going to change this. It's done. It's over. No, keep praying. God knows how to answer prayer. God knows how to come through. Keep praying. Keep taking it to the Lord. Keep pleading your petition unto Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without what? Ceasing. Keep praying. Don't quit. Don't give up. Say, I ain't seen an answer in a while. Keep praying. God's working on the other side. You never know what God's doing. You never know when it's going to come back around. I had a brother call me the other day. He was telling me about a guy. His name is Ashley Brock. Pray for him. Amen. He's lost. Amen. Matter of fact, some of you might remember he came here a little while when I used to work at the mill. He come with us a couple of times. Me and my wife gave him a Bible, tried to witness to him. It's been a long time since I've seen that old boy. And a guy from work down there called and said, hey, man, brother, he said, you never know. Come in my office today. And he was telling me, he said, Ashley Brock. He said, I got to tell him about that day you told me about salvation in the bathroom and I got saved. And he was telling him about how he got saved, what God done for him. And he said, man, he said his eyes teared up. And he said, man, I need what you got. That's a long time around. God's hearing some kind of prayer. God's doing something in somebody's life. Amen. God can do it. God can save. God can change. Amen. Don't give up. Don't quit praying for people. Quit praying for your family, your children, loved ones, amen. This whole world, our nation, amen, Israel, keep praying, amen. It's a good thing. God can answer prayer. Amen. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, it seems like I ain't seen no light in a long time. Hey, God knows how to bring the light in. Amen. You just keep praying. Be like Paul said over there when there was no light on that ship. He said, I believe God's going to be just like he said. Keep praying. Amen. Here's another one, number 8. Keep the faith. First this Timothy chapter 4. Keep the faith. Well, it's easy to lose faith, ain't it? Now, we weren't talking about salvation. We know that's a done deal. This is not what he's speaking of here. Talking about keeping the faith. Some people try to make it say something like that. We kind of just get discouraged and lose faith. Amen. Lose faith in what God can do. You ever get like that sometimes? Well, there ain't no hope. That's why we quit praying. Right? Sometimes that's why we quit coming to church. Right? Sometimes that's why we quit forsaking idols and start worshiping them. We start putting something in the place of God. We stop keeping ourselves pure. We stop keeping ourselves in the book. Amen. We just give up and think, well, what's the use? It's been too hard. Been too rough. I mean, you know, there ain't a child of God ever that didn't have it rough. Amen. Sometimes you look at people and then sometimes it's easy. You know, here's how we do. We see everybody's Sunday best. That's the reality. We see everybody's Sunday best. But you know what? From the pulpit to the back bench back there, everybody has problems. Everybody has trials. Everybody has troubles. And the devil makes you look at, oh, look how good they got it. Man, they got it rough too. This old devil ain't quit on nobody. He's trying to destroy everybody. And we have good times, bad times. Hey, I'm not drumming. I'm not complaining. God is worthy to be served. Amen. He is the best thing. But the reality is, hey, you're not the only one that has trials. Yeah. Hey, and you think, well, if I had it like they did, I wouldn't feel the way I feel. If you had it the way they had it, you'd probably been done quit. The reality of it is, you look at some people's lives and think, man, they got it made. I wish I had what they had. If you had what they had, you'd be gone crazy if you knew everything they had. Just count the blessings God's given you, what you got. God knows what you can handle. Amen. Amen. You got to keep the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said this in the end of his life. Verse 6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? I wonder why he said that. He said, I finished my course. Well, that means where he started, what direction God gave him for his life, he finished that course that God gave him to run. He said, I fought a good fight. You know what he said? Man, I had some rough things, but I fought against them. But you know what he said? He said, I kept the faith. You think there was times when he was over there in the dungeon, he thought, man, I don't know about this. We see him over there in Acts chapter 16, he was there praying and singing praises, him and Silas over there in the Philippian jail, the Philippian jailer gets saved. And that's the end result of what happened. But I wonder before they ever started singing and praying if he thought, man, you know? And we see us come to church and we sing praise and glorify God and God's worthy, but I wonder if they saw us before we sung and thought, man. He said, I kept the faith. You know what he's saying? I had to endure it. It wasn't always easy. He said, look in chapter 3, verse 10. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. That's pretty good stuff a little bit, right? Look, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, he's telling Timothy, hey, boy, it'll be rough. But I kept the faith. You can keep the faith. You know what we're to keep? We're to keep the faith. Lastly, look in Titus chapter 2. Some things we're to keep. Right after 2 Timothy there, Titus 2. You know what you ought to do? Keep looking up. You know what we feel like doing sometimes? Just keeping our head down. Depressed, right? You know? I can't even look at nobody. You know what God says? Keep looking up. When you see these things abound, evil and seducers and love of many waxing cold, he said, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. Keep looking up. He's coming. Amen. He's going to have the last laugh. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Amen. "These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." You know what we're to do? Keep looking up. Keep looking up, child. Hey, this ain't the end. Our roses is on the other side. Sometimes we get them a little bit here, man. Thank God for it. But hey, the end result is we're going to be with him one day. And the only thing that's going to matter is what we've done for Jesus. So keep yourself in the Word of God. Keep yourself in love with God. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself in unity with your brethren. Keep assembling together. Keep praying. Keep the faith. Keep looking up. Just some things you ought to keep. And I'll guarantee you'll be glad you kept them when we see him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. May you distill something in our hearts with faith, God, to keep on going on for you. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us and walking up that old hill of Calvary. And keep pressing forward and taking that cross and taking our sin and dying for us. May we keep ourselves in love with you. Keep ourselves in the service of God. Keep looking for you till you come. Keep us away from idols. Keep us away from this old world. God, help us keep ourselves pure and be an example to this old lost and dying world. Be with us today. Take the Word of God and challenge, convict, and exhort God's people. Bless the singing, any testimonies that's given. Help your people through the troubles and trials they're facing. Thank you for your faithfulness to us and be in touch with what we go through. We love you, and thank you for loving us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get your little break. Go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm.